Hey, you say you want Comic-Con fun and a place to have it? Well, look no further than the Mohegan Sun this August 19th to the 21st. That's right, the Terrific Comic-Con. Terrific Con is hitting the Mohegan Sun in Connecticut. You'll see actors from your favorite shows like The Walking Dead, Arrow, Comic Book Men, and Star Trek. Plus, there'll be some fun on Saturday night when Kevin Smith, Silent Bob himself, joins the fun at the Mohegan Sun. There'll be comics, cosplay, and a whole lot more. Plus, don't forget, meet your favorite comic book artists and writers at Terrific Con. There'll be Dan Slott, Mark Bagley, Paul Levitz, Neil Adams, Keith Giffen, and more than 50 of your favorite comic book artists and writers from Marvel and DC. That's Terrific Con, Connecticut's Terrific Comic Con, this August 19th to the 21st. Tickets on sale right now. For more information, visit us at terrificcon.com. It's terrific!
Hey, I'm Cody from Unqualified Gamers, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to right now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1...
And welcome to Audibly Exquisite, episode 68. I'm Mike Noren with
Peter Melnick.
And Peter Melnick, tell the good folks at home what we're all about.
What we are all about is we are your one-stop source for all things geek culture, be it movies, television, video games, comic books, you name it.
We're going to cover it.
And we are a proud member of the Gunna Geek Podcast Network. Find us at www.gunnageek.com. And find us on a wide variety of social media platforms, including Facebook at facebook.com/audiblyexquisite. And find us on Twitter at the AE Podcast or individually at Peter Melnick and
at Mike_Norin.
Find us on Instagram at
audiblyexquisite.
And find us on the worldwide interwebs at www.audiblyexquisite.com. And also, you have a wide variety of ways to listen to this show. Find us on TuneIn Radio, Stitcher Radio, and Podomatic, all available for all iOS and Android devices. And finally, rate, review, subscribe, and share on iTunes. 5-star if you're ever so inclined, and spread the word like Nutella with all your friends about this show. If they like stuff like this, point them in our direction. And also, by the way, we are doing pre-orders for t-shirts. So find us on Facebook at facebook.com/audiblyexquisite. And send us a message what t-shirt size you want and what color scheme you want. We want to bring these t-shirts that are beautiful. Mike, we're wearing them right now, and I gotta say, you look pretty stunning in your shirt.
As well, Pete.
Thank you, Mike. We both are stunning gentlemen.
Stunning Pete Melnick.
And stunning Steve Austin Mike. So now, by the way, at the end of this episode, we have a special guest and a bit of audio that we've been taking our time to throw out into the ether. It is an interview with legendary DC and British artist Simon
Bisley, the Biz.
And that man is responsible for the reinvention of the character Lobo.
The human incarnation of Lobo, almost.
Yes. And yeah, he was a wild dude to do this interview with, phenomenal guest. And we will have that at the tail end of today's episode. So now, today, Mike, we didn't get to record anything last week, but we did get a little bit of stuff thrown out. Mike, what did you think about San Diego Comic-Con's news this past weekend?
It's like Christmas almost, except it's like you saw what your parents got you, but you can't get it.
It was right away. Yeah, man. Like, there was so much stuff I wanted to see this year, and we really couldn't because of the fact of how they were doing this. Like, there was so much stuff locked up.
Exclusively only shows certain stuff to their panelists.
You could not see anything in regards to like
Marvel or Star Wars.
You couldn't, well, yeah, Marvel and Star Wars, and you couldn't see the trailer for, or you couldn't see the footage for Spider-Man Homecoming, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, and the final one, what was the Thor Ragnarok? None of that stuff you could see that weekend. I mean, like, for example, you know, you have, like, all these different trailers, like, what's it called? Like, Spider-Man. Spider-Man, they revealed that you're going to see the Vulture in, you know, the film. Like, they showed actual footage. They didn't show who plays the Vulture, from what I've heard, but they did show the Vulture, like, in the costume and everything, which is rad. You know? I like that they're, you know, releasing all this stuff out for the public. Because I badly want to see this stuff. I just think, Mike, do you think it's going to eventually get released? Like, it will get leaked down the line?
Well, didn't they? How long did they wait last year?
They waited a while, man. Did like they took forever for some of that
like actual footage.
Like when Guardians of the Galaxy had footage showing in 2013, it didn't take them to release that footage until 5 months later, give or take.
Wow.
Yeah, because I remember seeing like a really, really shaky fan cam version of it, and then it disappeared.
Yeah.
Like it was gone in a heartbeat, and it bummed me out, man. It bummed me out because like I want to see that footage as soon as possible. I understand they're trying to cater it to the people that are there in San Diego, but still, man, still I want to see that shit.
All right, give it up.
Like, so now, some of the stuff that was shown there, by the way, we ended up getting Justice League, which was shown for the public too, you know, if you were living on the East Coast or not in California at San Diego Comic-Con, Justice League. Mike, what were your thoughts on the Justice League trailer?
I thought it looked cool.
It was, honestly, out of every trailer I saw, that was the home run hitter. That was the best.
Yeah, it definitely looked cool. There was some fun in it. Aquaman looked cool. I mean, he didn't have any dialogue, really.
Yeah, he didn't
just
have,
looked like a badass, though.
And somebody posted this meme not long after. It's like 2017, the year Aquaman jokes die.
I've seen someone complaining that his hair's not blonde.
Who gives a shit? It's a fucking movie. You don't need to stay
and
so
it's
close.
It's long.
So fucking what? Meanwhile, he had it long in the fucking 90s, but it was blonde. Who gives a shit?
I said, you ever hear of haircut a-holes?
You ever hear of doing
a fucking
different...
You go tell Jason Woman to get a haircut.
You know what? I'm going to do that next con I see him at. I will do
get
that.
Get a haircut, hippie.
Trim those sideburns, Mattingly.
Look at you with his big Hawaiian muscles and just punch you. They're also made because he's Hawaiian.
Are they fucking really?
Yes, and it's like... Someone also asked him in an interview, said, can you swim since you're playing Aquaman? He goes, bro, I'm Hawaiian.
They fucking really are asking
that? Because
he's
Hawaiian. Yeah.
Wow. They're bitching about that he's Hawaiian.
Yep, and he's like, bro, I'm Hawaiian. Of course I can swim.
They should bitch about, you know, like a female cast of a certain other movie, too. Oh, wait, that's fucking been happening every week for the past few months. Man, like that. Anyway, so now, speaking of women in movies, they also released the Wonder Woman trailer.
They sure did. It looked cool.
That honestly, I liked it, especially for the ending line. You know, the line about secretaries.
Yeah.
I call that slavery. I
think
her.
The Justice League the trailer, though, kind of overpowered that, though.
Oh,
unfortunately.
Yeah.
Everyone was like, oh, sweet Wonder Woman. All of a sudden, like, oh, yeah, motherfuckers.
And I mean, like...
honestly didn't expect to see a Justice League trailer.
I didn't either because, like, of how... Like, yeah, it's coming out next year.
I thought maybe, like, a picture, like, a group picture of everyone. Like, yay, hey, look, Justice League.
It's coming out next year, but isn't it still filming?
I think so.
Yeah, so, like, it's kind of crazy. Like, I know Star Wars Episode 8 just wrapped up, and that's not coming out till the end of next year.
Yeah.
December.
We probably won't get a trailer for that until...
San Diego.
Of next year.
San Diego. Do you think they would release a Star Wars trailer at Celebration?
No, I think they might do, yeah...
Because they have to make...
Remember Thanksgiving, they released the trailer?
They'll
probably do that.
That makes perfect sense.
It was Black Friday. I was sitting in the doctor's office. Clear sign says, no use of cell phones.
You didn't give a shit. I remember
I'm flipping through Facebook. I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah, who gives a shit? I mean, it's Star Wars, man. It's still like...
And I'll never, ever forget that feeling all of a sudden. You hear like there's been an awakening. You're like, oh, my God. God.
My thing is this. You know what trailer I really like that has to do with Star Wars? It's a tie between two. One of them is going to be one that you're going to go, fucking really? Episode 1.
Okay.
Which is the fucking really? Because Episode 1 sucked, but the trailer was so fucking incredible that people were going to see Joe Black.
Just for the trailer.
And the funniest thing is you can actually look at the live reaction from that. Somebody did a bootleg recording.
Mm-hmm.
The theater erupted with applause when the sagas begin every whatever the fuck. But it was just cool. No, they erupted when they saw the Lucasfilm logo pop up. You know what I mean? Like, I still, you know, get excited when I see that. And
we should record our reactions for the next Star Wars trailer.
I'd like to, but in all honesty, you probably wouldn't be able to do it, knowing my luck.
Yeah.
But my second favorite still, Rogue One.
Yeah, that's a cool trailer.
Rogue One, like somebody even said, like this is the year where opening theme songs are done with piano. Like you just hear, dun.
Ghostbusters dun. Did it also.
Ghostbusters, what else? I want to see Deadpool make fun of that trope.
Yeah.
Deadpool 2 has
Ryan
to
Reynolds
do that.
Is terribly playing like a Casio keyboard.
Yes. Yes. Hell no. No, he doesn't play a keyboard. He plays that keyboard organ that we were listening to the Jurassic Park theme song done to. Has to be that.
Mm-hmm.
Has keys, doesn't it? But I mean, I like what they're doing with this stuff, man. Like it's smart. Like, and then they showed the Suicide Squad trailer,
which was cool as usual.
I like the Suicide Squad trailer a lot. I like the music they're using for the soundtrack. It's not all retro music. It's, you know, mixing modern with, you know, the old. I like that. Do like a mashup. Am I a Lil Wayne fan? Old Lil Wayne, yeah. Don't give a shit about the new stuff, but I'm excited for stuff like 21 Pilots is going to be in there. I think Queen is on the soundtrack still. Although they showed like the track listing, like Sweet's Ballroom Blitz isn't in there, but that was the song everyone fucking knew for the trailer.
That's weird.
So all this stuff is, you know, is gone by the wayside. I don't, but it doesn't matter.
You can make your own awesome mix of Suicide Squad music.
Now, I like the trailer, but Mike, what were your thoughts on the Doctor Strange trailer, the latest one?
It was neat.
They know what they're doing with this. It was a good trailer. It definitely helped out with what they're doing for this. You know, it connected with the audience, and it showed what this character is really all about. I mean, Mike, overall, what did you think of the trailer itself?
I thought it looked great. I mean, it was just similar to the first, but, you know, a little longer and a few clips of here and there.
Yeah.
Nothing like mind-blowing, you know, it's an origin story from what I can tell.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's smart that they're not really revealing a lot, but they're still giving the audience the general gist of what the character is like.
Yeah.
I mean, they have a lot of... Benedict Cumberbatch is a figure in pop culture that is loved by a fucking ton of people. Like, if you go online and type in hashtag Benedict Cumberbatch, you will see a shit ton of love posts towards the guy. In my opinion, Marvel made the right casting choice bringing him in, because you bring him in, you bring in a shit ton of his fans, and he has a gigantic fan base that I guarantee you will give Marvel the number one box office opening with such a character that's not that well known in the pop culture focus.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, if you see, again, the level of love he has online, holy shit, man. Again, like, the Tumblr post alone, you look, you know, even the fucking fan fiction for this fucking guy. He has fan fiction devoted to fictional characters with him.
That's impressive.
It's impressive, and it was the best move for them to make. Now, obviously, a lot of other stuff has been going on at San Diego Comic-Con. They revealed that, guess who will be playing the role of Captain Marvel?
Who?
Brie Larson.
Wow.
Wait, say that again?
Wow.
No, the other one. Questioning. Who?
Who?
Mike Jones. No. But yeah, so Brie Larson is going to be playing the role of Captain Marvel, and once again, another Academy Award winner joins the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So, with her work in the movie Room, they are doing a phenomenal job with the casting of these people. Like, personally, if we wanted to go with a visual aspect, I still feel Ronda Rousey would have been perfect, but her acting ability is not that good. Especially for a Marvel movie, you don't want to make it look low rent. You want to make it's Marvel. You want to make it look like a fucking A-list movie.
Yeah, I agree.
So yeah, if you can look the part, but you have to walk the walk and talk the talk. So now, speaking again of Marvel, Kurt Russell's role in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 got confirmed. He is going to be Star-Lord's dad, but guess who Star-Lord's dad is going to be?
Who?
Ego the Living Planet.
Wow.
So he's part human, part planet.
Big dad.
Big. That's a big daddy. So, are you excited to see, though, Kurt Russell in this universe? Like, a character like him?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's fun.
And, you know, Sylvester Stallone is confirmed. He's going to be in there.
Oh, forgot about him.
So, technically, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 could be a cosmic interdimensional Tango and Cash. When you think about it, you know? Not really. You don't need really to think about that. But it's just cool to see this. Now, also, Ghost Rider, you know, he's going to be also, they announced he's going to be a part of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this upcoming season.
I've seen that.
Yeah, I'm torn on it because, yes, it's a cool character, and I understand why they're going with the version of Ghost Rider that they're going with.
It's not Johnny Blaze.
It's not going to be Johnny Blaze. It's not going to be Danny Ketch. It's going to be Robbie Reyes, the one who is in a car. And I understand why they're doing this, because of the fact you don't really need to have much of a reliance on his flaming head on a, you know, in a side of a car.
Yeah, true.
As opposed to, you know, the technical aspect of him being on a motorcycle with flaming wheels and all this other horse shit. You have a car. You have, like, the, you know, you don't need to see his flaming head at all times. Like, maybe you have, like, a little CGI blur of red or orange.
Mm. Really black tinted windows.
It's kind of like that, yeah. And I mean, if you all out there have Marvel Unlimited, you actually, I believe you can get a free 1 month trial for like a dollar with the code dollar. I think I'm not 100%, but you can check out, you know, the whole all new Ghost Rider run. It's literally called that, all new Ghost Rider. I've read it. It's okay. It's not my favorite thing. I'm personally not a fan of the art in the beginning of the series, but that's just me. I just think, you know. Do you think a possibility of a Ghost Rider series on Netflix could happen, though, with the other ones? Because they're leaving them into the continuity. Like, these characters exist.
Yeah, I think they can.
I hope so, man. Like, what would you rather see? Johnny Blaze, or would you rather see Danny Ketch? Danny Ketch had the cooler motorcycle.
Blaze.
You think so?
Yeah.
I mean, like, I also know why they're doing this character of Robbie Reyes, because of the fact they want to, like, there's different Ghost Riders. We're not just that Nicolas Cage one. We also have this version of him. You know what I mean? So it makes sense, but I kind of would have liked to have seen Blaze. Blaze or Ketch, I mean, I think also that's honestly why that new version of Ghost Rider was created. Because he was created in 2014, conveniently around the time, what's it called? Marvel regained the rights to Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
So they wanted to have their own thing. Hey, let's find a way to shoehorn him into our universe.
So they can still do multiple ones.
That's why they're eventually going to do a new version of Blade as well, but it's Blade's daughter.
Oh.
So it's going to be Blade's daughter, the vampire hunter, which, hey, I would give it a try. I'd give it a read, because Blade is a good character, mind you, in the films. I don't really have much knowledge of the comics, but he's a good character. He's solid. Why not? And now, speaking of solid characters,
oh yeah,
one of your favorite characters is going to be being reprised by the best choice of actor. Whoa. No, wrong actor. Sorry, different one. Matt Ryan will be reprising the role of John Constantine.
He sure will be.
But not in live action.
No, in the animated Justice League Dark.
You excited for this, man?
Oh, God, yes.
Have you seen the previews of it so far?
Yeah, I've seen it.
What did you think of it?
Swamp Thing's in it.
Swampy's in it. Dead Man's in it.
Yep.
Zatanna?
She's in it.
Katana?
Not in it.
Oh.
Batman's in it. People are complaining, but you got to think. These are obscure characters.
You need to have the A-list.
You need to have Batman.
You need to have somebody to bridge the gap
to
introduce
them. And
they're
doing that big, gigantic, bulky characters again.
Are they? Oh, the anime style?
Yeah. It's getting a little old,
I think. Like the anime style to a point.
It looks like shit. They got these huge fucking... They look like the guys from Mario, the movie.
The Goombas?
Yes. Big, friggin' massive bodies and little skulls. Looks like they got, like, Zika virus or something.
Eh. I mean, I'm just happy to see Ryan reprising that character, because he nailed it. He was the closest you've ever seen.
Oh, I agree.
And even, like, to the point, like, they said, you know what,
fuck. Oh, actually, Demon Knight's also in the lineup.
Demon Knight?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, in all honesty,
he's been in animated form a couple times, though.
Funniest thing is, look how close they were trying to get the character of Constantine in the television series, to the point where they said, eh, fuck it, give him a cigarette.
Yeah.
Pretty much that's what they did. And it was smart, because, like, that's, again, a major key point of his character. And I actually heard, like, a rumor, it wasn't, like, 100%. Season 2 is actually going to be the Garth Ennis storyline, where it was him getting cancer.
Wow.
I wanted to see that storyline, man, because, like, they did it in the movie, but not as good as the comic. And I know the television show heavily borrowed from the comics. They could have done it really well. Like, that, they adapted the first storyline from Constantine perfectly. You know, the first Hellblazer number one back in 1988.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think it's smart. They have to do this. Like, you know, you don't have to have it be completely accurate to the comic. Again, going, you know, with, what's his name, Jason Samoa Joe, you know, with Aquaman, you know, with the blonde hair. You don't really need to have everything exact. But there are sometimes key things you should have, the key elements. And the key elements of Constantine are what they are. And Ryan did an amazing job. And now, speaking of things that are pretty fucking awesome. Star Wars Rebels just announced this month that they're going to be bringing some of the characters, specifically one, not characters, but character, slip of the tongue, Grand Admiral Thrawn from the Timothy Zahn series of Star Wars books, the famous trilogy that took place after Return of the Jedi. This was what people wanted to see Episode 7 be, yada, yada, yada. The blue-skinned Admiral, Grand Admiral of the Star Wars universe, he's now considered canon in the Star Wars universe.
Nice.
And they changed it to where he's going to be involved with the earlier years. But not just that. He's also going to be getting a novel written by Timothy Zahn one more time. And it's going to be called, you guessed it, Thrawn. So I think it's smart that they're utilizing the right elements. That's why like a lot of fans online were bitching about this. They're like, oh, they're getting rid of the expanded universe. Because remember when the only canon stuff was anything to do with the Clone Wars cartoon, mm-hmm. Star Wars Rebels, and the 6 main movies. Nothing else.
Now it's a lot of stuff.
Well, it's the same stuff, but they're cherry-picking elements from the expanded universe, which is smart.
Must be nice.
What you've read some of the expanded universe stuff, right? You played some of the games. Who would you want to see brought in from those into the main mythos?
Dash Render.
Fuck, you said mine. Seriously, you did say mine. That was the one I wanted to go with.
So yours is Dash Render.
Yeah, well, no. I got to go with a different one. Mara Jade.
Okay.
So throw these characters in. You know what I mean? Like,
I think we'll see Dash appear.
I hope so, man. Because, like, think about it like this. At one point, Star Wars Shadows of the Empire was considered canon to the point where characters from that movie actually reappeared in the Star Wars Star Wars re-release.
Yeah.
Like, Dash Rendar's ship shows up in the movie.
Does it?
Yeah.
I didn't know
Special edition, it shows up in there.
No shit.
And it was considered canon. And, like, you played the Shadows of the Empire game, right?
Does Dash Rendar die?
Did you read the book?
No, I didn't.
I've read the book. I've played the game. I never listened to the audiobook version thing that they did. But there was a ton, by the way, which you can get on www.audibletrial.com/audibly-exquisite. And by the way, I think that's what I'm going to be listening to in my choice from audible.com. Yourself? I think you should listen to that too.
I think I will. Okay. I'm listening to Dexter now, though.
That's good. So now go to www.audibletrial.com/audibly-exquisite and get a free 1 month trial and an audiobook of your choosing. Choose from thousands of titles and cancel at any time if you sign up. So now, I think a lot of characters, though, in the expanded universe could work really well. Like, that is a perfect character.
I agree.
Absolutely perfect.
Like, he could get his own comic, I think.
You think he would get a comic? I don't know if that could, like, a Thrawn comic, or are we talking about Dash Rendar?
Rendar.
You know what? I would like to see that. That would work really well. Like, why not do that? Why the fuck not? Because they're characters that can work very well, and the audience, there's a fandom already for them, so why not do it? Because, you know, when that happens, there's going to be people wanting to go, hey, I'm going to give this a read. I'm going to give this a watch. I'm going to give this a play. Whatever. Because it's characters people like. And the funniest thing is Star Wars Battlefront, so far that's the only in-canon game. You know that, right?
Yeah.
And that kind of bums me out because I'd love to see them bring back some of the Knights of the Old Republic mythos. That was fun shit back in the day. Like, did you ever play Knights of the Old Republic?
Yes.
That was one of the best RPGs I've ever played in my life. Like, you got to be either a Jedi or a Sith. And yeah, I always went the Jedi route. But man, the options to be a Sith were pretty fucking sinister.
It was fun to be a Sith.
Do you think that we could see, down the line, maybe elements of the Old Republic being brought in?
Possibly.
I want that. Why not? Because think about it like this. There are so many people like you and I that would play that in a heartbeat. Because you know they were actually supposed to make Knights of the Old Republic 3.
Yeah, it got scrapped.
That got scrapped, so did Battlefront 3, I think. Battlefront 3 or 2. It was one of the two. And it was really fucking good. But you actually can find it, I believe, on Did You Know Gaming.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
It's depressing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then you hear George Lucas's thoughts on what he wanted to call the main character you play as in Force Unleashed.
What was it? Gary?
He wanted to call him either Darth Icky, and I'm not kidding
about... Shut up, George.
Or Darth Insano. Darth Insanius. And they were looking at him, thinking,
are you stupid?
he is going to make say this is a joke, right? He did not say it was a joke. It was it was real.
So you know what I think we should call him?
It bums me out, like, how much Lucas has fallen down the well, essentially, with, you know, his decisions. Because I still like George. I still like, he's the guy responsible for, like, making our childhood fucking awesome.
Yeah.
You know, when you think about it, like, without him, we wouldn't have the booger man of Darth Vader around us, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I'm going to go with, you know, Mr. Burns kind of comment, the booger man. It's true, though. It's fucking true. And I want to see these kind of characters made to be awesome. Now, speaking of things that are awesome, Mark Hamill just revealed that the Killing Joke will not be the final time he voices the Joker.
Oh, boy.
Mike, what other stories would you want to see him reprise as the Joker?
Boy, I can't think of any. Death in the Family?
Death in the Family would... Yeah, especially, you know, give him... make him into the ambassador or whatever for the country and stuff. That would be cool. I could see that. Maybe Death of the Family.
There you go.
Do like the
more recent.
Do like the whole lead up to him getting his face cut off.
Ooh.
Because there's so much cool shit that you can do with these things. And I don't know. I want to see more of this stuff. Like I definitely want to see Hamill do that voice again. I actually want to see him do more trickster stuff, though.
Yeah.
As a fan of Defleur, I really loved the trickster. So now, speaking of the Killing Joke, out of the two of us, I'm the guy with the Batman podcast. I have not seen it.
I have.
Mike, what did you think of it?
I'll give it, on the battering scale I created for you.
Copyright Mike Noren, 2016.
3.5 out of 5 batterings.
Now, I've heard there's been like a lot of complaints because of the first 30-so minutes.
Yeah, it was just filler.
I feel like somebody said, like, you could walk in, you know, 30 minutes late and it would have been fine.
Yeah. It was just filler, I think, because they needed a 90-minute movie kind of thing, you know, hour and 20 minutes.
And I've heard people complain and say, like, oh, it's, you know, it's a bad idea to do the whole Barbara-Batman relationship. And I kind of agree, because
it was pointless, you know.
It wasn't in the comics, was it? It never was.
Mentioned and alluded.
Maybe alluded, but not really. Like, it was, you know, it was more of a creation of Bruce Timm and Paul Dini for their cartoon,
because
they did it in there.
Yeah. Dick Grayson got together, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that was like a common one. I believe that was heavily prevalent in the comics, which, hey, fucking go for it. Why not?
Yeah, I don't know what their deal was.
Like, I'm still excited for a lot of this stuff, man. There's, you know, I still want to see it. I'm looking forward to it because of the fact, you know, hey, maybe it's good. Maybe they knocked it out of the park like everything else they did.
Mm-hmm.
You never know. But still, it just bums me out that, you know, it's the reviews I've heard of it so far have been very bad about it. And that just bums me out because, like, this is, again, something since I believe the beginning of our series, at least within the second year. Yeah, I mean, it's just it's absolutely crazy that, like, this is something that we will continue to talk about. I've kind of noticed that animated Batman in general stuff we tend to talk about a lot on this show.
We do, because it's good.
Or, you know, we just have a grievance with it, like a certain, you know, movie by a certain Snyder.
Yes.
Whose name rhymes with?
Mac. Miter.
There we go. So
Miter.
Exactly. So now, you know, going away from the movies and stuff, guess what just got announced a couple weeks ago, Mike?
Ooh, is it the NES port? Yeah.
Yes, it's a mini NES with 30 built-in games. Now, Mike, what games would you like to see in this thing?
Super Contra.
Guess what, Mike? It's in it.
Oh!
And it doesn't have just that, but it has Zelda 1 and 2. Has Super Mario Brothers, which apparently we're supposed to pronounce as Mario. Just a little shout-out to my friend, @HotPikachuSex on Twitter.
That's how the Italians say it.
So yeah, it's we get some Mario games in there. We're going to have, what else? Final Fantasy, Donkey Kong, Ice Climbers.
Wow.
We're going to kick some ice in this game. It's got one of the Double Dragon games, but it's like Double Dragon 2 or 3.
That's odd.
It's got, I believe, all three Castlevania.
What about Shinobi?
No, that's it's a Capcom game. There were not many Capcom games, surprisingly. Tweet us at the AE Podcast or yell at me at Peter Melnick what games are in this if I got any of these wrong. But just a lot of really cool shit that's going to be in this thing.
That's awesome.
The problem, though, is it doesn't have online abilities, which... What? It never had online abilities in the first place. Yes, but it's still got onboard memory, and you could probably add things to this. Nintendo's saying, on the other hand, no. So, In addition, by the way, it has like a little cartridge slot, but it doesn't work. You can't lift it up and open it. So that kind of is a bummer, because how cool would it have been to be able to play not just those onboard games, but your own games?
That would have been neat.
Like play, you know, River City Ransom in HD with an HDMI cable. That would have been fun. But the only way to be able to play those games now are those, you either buy an actual NES or one of those shit-tastic knockoff systems like the Hyperkin, like the Superboy and stuff like that. Like the really not good ones.
Yeah, I got one at a flea market one time and it worked for about a month and quit.
Yeah, like I have the NES one and it's kind of shitty. It has like that burning plasticky smell.
Ooh.
And it's like, even when it's off, it has that burning plasticky smell.
It's not healthy.
So, you know, I think they should maybe like just bring some of this stuff back. Why not? Because there's a demand. There's a lot of people that want to play these old games again. Why not? I mean, like, I like the idea, though, of the smaller three, you know, the mini system. And I mean, even Sega's, you know, going to try and, you know, recapitalize on a thing again. They're every Christmas, they unleash these out into the world, like the little mini Sega Genesis's. And it's got a built-in cartridge port, and you can actually play the other games in addition to the built-in 80. So I think it's kind of cool that they're doing this, because why not, you know?
Why not?
I mean, Mike, what system would you want to see? Oh, well, also, what are some of your favorite NES games?
The Zelda games, Mario, Contra.
Yeah, Contra rules. I have to go with River City Ransom, Battletoads, Double Dragon versus Battletoads, stuff like that, you know? And so now, you know, what mini system would you want to see, too?
A Nintendo 64.
Same here, honestly. Because there's just a lot of really, really, really good stuff.
Or actually, like Super NES.
Yeah, well, you know they'll do it when it's like 10 years past the time they should do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because think about it. This system, the mini NES, is coming out 10 years after the 80s fad died. You know?
You're right.
So we'll see a mini Super Nintendo in 2016. I mean, 2026. So now before we go, we have a special interview with comic book legend Mr. Simon Bisley that we actually took back in April at East Coast Comic Con.
And that's coming up right now.
We are joined right now with comic book legend from the UK, Mr. Simon Bisley. Simon, how you doing, man?
Doing very well, thank you. Everybody enjoy myself. It's the last day, but it's a pleasure meeting people like you again. It gives me the strength to carry that last hour.
Hell yeah, man, hell yeah. Now, you're known, one of your biggest claims to fame is your work on Lobo during the 1990s. A character that was, you know, made by Keith Giffen, and you ended up turning it, you know, with your visual portrayal of it into something, you know, completely badass, you know, yeah, even better, in my opinion. Now, what I want to know is, they're actually going to be making a Lobo movie. It just got announced, like, fairly recently that's going to be happening. What do you think about that, and do you think they're going to be using your version of the character?
Well, it's pretty interesting, because I know they would have worked, they would have used me, they were going to do a Lobo film for a while, and that kind of fell apart, all the pieces, because it was kind of original to make, wasn't it? And I was approached by DC, because I think the Guy Ritchie guys in DC wanted me to work on that with him, and I fell through for, I think, because he was committed to all the jobs. And so it's basically this come back round again. So I would assume that they won't be. I mean, it's very interesting because what they're going to do, I've no idea. It's up to them. Really.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly the only Lobo that works. I mean, the reason why Lobo works the way he is because he's so fucking anti everything and so different to all the other characters. It's a lovely contrast.
The anti character.
But the way they've done him now, it just seems like a complete fucking prick. And extraordinarily dull, and then loss of humour, spirit, creativity, imagination. It's just all completely gone. So they're just going to have a very dull character. I think the only goal would be to go with the Lobo. I won't say the Lobo I did, but the spirit of Lobo originally, I think, would work best. But I would say that because I'm biased, obviously. But I mean, the thing is, it's ironic that, I don't know, it's kind of weird. I mean, that makes no sense to me. How you can take a character like that, demasculize it completely and make it completely not really what like it was. So, and then just make a film with a new version that has no history or no fucking following. You know, But I think the current films that DC and Marvel have been making are really fucking class movies. I mean, very good film, quality movies. We're excited, and everyone's excited always to see what they do. So I'm sure DC 100% going to pull it off, whatever they do with Lobo. I think maybe, to be honest, it comes to a point where they, you know, needs a bit of a change, maybe. Maybe they want to change things. They're modernize them up. But again, because Lobo was such a fucking misfit, it'd work in any place. But maybe I think what it is like, no one knows what to do with Lobo because they don't understand it. They don't understand how to write it because they're not that mentality. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They never danced with the devil. They never fucking written a fucking Mike Davidson or a fucking full bore, you know, on the road to hell to death. That's a break site, very extraordinary break site things about life, you know. And I translated what I was drawing over. So a lot of these people are just suit and ties and just polish their asses on seats and they just don't know how to write a character like that because they don't understand it. They wouldn't know how to do it. So I think the current Lobo is extraordinarily weak, but then again, it all depends on the artist. And let's put it this way: if I was to draw the new Lobo, I think I could make him very popular again.
Oh yeah,
definitely.
And he just, but that, you know what happened then? It just ended up being that busy Lobo again.
Yeah.
Because the old Lobo was more to do with me as much as me as anybody. You know, so if I draw anything, I'll put a stamp on it. I'll dominate the character, own the character. I mean, it's almost like, you know, DC didn't even own the character anymore, you know, so associated with me. But I think what they probably did was kill my virtual Lobo so they could claim Lobo back and give a new lease of life, kind of thing, which was fine. You know, the things you've got to remember, you know, comic characters evolve, they evolve and roll, you've got to roll with it. I say stagnant all the time, but, you know, maybe the old Lobo will come back and find out that it was actually the new Lobo, it's actually his father.
Right.
Or his grandfather. They do something like that, would be fucking great, you know.
Yeah.
But it's funny. I mean, you've got to take comics and roll with it. It's humour. You understand it's a good thing. If you take the shit too much, you're serious, you know. Don't worry about it. That made any sense. It didn't make any sense to me.
It made sense to me.
Definitely makes sense.
Next question, please.
All right, while we're talking about Lobo and the possibility of a movie, is there any actor that you could visualize being?
Actors, plenty of actors. I think the actor has to. I think he could go either way. He could be very dark humor, some aggression, a real mood. Almost like, you know, like, say, for The Undertaker style.
Yeah.
Or the guy who played, Deadpool would be good.
Ryan Reynolds.
He also did do that. Or the guy who played the Joker, the current Joker, the younger Joker,
Leto,
would be good. I mean, you take a character, anybody good, I think you need a good actor actually, well, just someone who's just pure muscle. I think have some intelligence to make it work, someone who can pull off. Kevin Spacey would be brilliant as well, but
that'd be interesting to see.
No, and listen, how weird is that? No, just think about it. Kevin Spacey playing Lobo. Why would you go with a big muscle? Okay, hey, get a guy with fucking drugs, and then sorry, drugs. Give him some hormones or something, you know, some testosterone. Build him up for a year or two. And it'd be interesting to see when you get even a thespian, even someone who didn't really do acting, didn't really do theatre, to play Lobo. Because I always thought Lobo would be quite a thespian. I still thought he'd be quite like this. You know,
yeah.
Lobo's got some swagger to him.
I think he'd have some kind of Brooklyn kind of like accent, strong American kind of style. I think he'd be very,
very distinct.
You know, he'd probably talk like Shere Khan in Jungle Book, you know, the original Jungle Book series, maybe.
Yes.
But I think Kevin Spacey, I only say that because it just would be an interesting kind of, you know, or someone like who plays Iron Man, what's his name?
Robert Downey Jr.
If he takes someone like Robert Downey Jr. to play a Lobo or something, just imagine that kind of. That quality of actor, he could really pull it off really well. I think, obviously, some people laugh when I say Kevin Spacey, but just don't laugh, just think about it a minute. I mean, even if you did a CGI,
yeah.
And he was, clearly he's nothing like it. I think clearly there's Mickey Rourke, but he's
true
with Sin City, but Mickey Rourke would totally put it.
Yeah,
hell yeah.
He's seen the way he plays, and he's got that humour as well, and tongue in cheek.
Yeah.
But I think he's so played, he's so associated with Sin City and whatnot now, and I think it's maybe. I think I would be pretty positive that DC would call someone younger person. That Lobo was like a true fucking cool, like, you know, a sort of 20-something-year-old guy, you know. That's where things seem to be going.
Right.
You know, and make him less masculine. I think a lot of characters, they seem to just be getting rid of anyone who's masculine and feminizing everything, which is kind of weird. You know, it's like a big problem with masculine characters, and Lobo's still very masculine. As far as actors go, there's a whole bunch, there's a whole load of them. I mean, imagine if Heath Ledger was still alive.
I think,
he would have been an amazing fucking Lobo.
Well, the thing is with, like, Heath Ledger, you know, like, no one expected him to do the Joker. Like, he was laughed at one point. Like, it was
exactly.
the equivalent of Michael Keaton with Batman.
Yeah. I think you can probably trust the people at the power to be and make a good decision. You know, it's interesting because The Rock was mentioned in the thing. I don't know what he was mentioned for.
Yeah.
But I was watching him on that Saturday Night. Or was that some comedy fucking series he was on?
Saturday Night Live?
Saturday Night Live, was it? You know, when he did the thing when he was getting tranquilized and struck the blood out. You know,
I remember that.
He's got a tremendous, The Rock's got a tremendous sense of humor. And he'd be great. He's done a thing with the other film with.
The Rundown.
The Rundown, was it? What the other actor?
Sean William Scott.
Terrible names, yeah.
That's all good.
Yeah, he'd be good for that. There's so many people who'd be good at it, but you don't want some big lump of nuts.
Right.
Someone like me, I'd be a fucking good.
Now, speaking of how DC is, they've radically changed, like, the personalities of the characters. In a lot of ways, John Constantine, a character you worked heavily on, when they took him from the mature imprint Vertigo and threw him over to the main DC New 52 continuity, do you feel like they really neutered the character from what he was to the new thing now?
I don't know. I think what companies do, they take everything to the cleaners. They take everything to wash it on a cleaner, get rid of all the... I mean, you've got to remember sometimes companies will say, like, you know, who owns the rights to a certain character, say, well, so-and-so owns this, so-and-so owns that, someone did this, someone did that. They can always claim the character. You make a movie of a character that was owned by a company, but that artist has such an influence on the character, they can always take a claim on a percentage of the fucking film, you know. So I think sometimes companies would just take things to the wash, put through the wash, get rid of all the trouble, potential trouble with the character, and make it completely back to their own again.
Right.
So they can make a fresh start and a fresh look at it. You know? So it makes sense. I mean, it's just their character. The people who own their own characters, they're better companies than do they want. We don't own them. It's not mine, I don't own any of the characters. Constantine, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, again, it depends on the artist and the writer. I mean, again, I think when Constantine was becoming more and more of me, because that's what I do. I become a character. I take it on, you know. And a lot of my life, you know, the experiences in life will come across, and you see that in the pages. And I think he's become more of a fucking bum, like me, and more of a fucking, just older, you know, more creaky bones, and none the wiser or anything, you know. So it kind of relates to that, I think. Yes, I know. What do you think? I can't really comment because I've not read the new work project. I don't think it's a picture of sales. Maybe when I do something, maybe it becomes a little cool, you get a kind of cult following, but doesn't reach a mass audience, which is basically what you want to be doing. They're not doing it for fun, but it's a compass, it's a business, you've got to make money.
Exactly.
Right. Look, this character becomes very, you know, it's a cult following, a big cult following, but it's not appealing to the masses. So let's get rid of it, let's clean it up, and let's just start over again.
And like,
it's a business. You know, so they don't get fucked up. They know they can recover.
Yeah, totally.
They can trash a character and just start over again.
Well, the interesting thing was when they took it over from Vertigo, brought it up to New 52, that series ended, the new version, and then they relaunched it in time for the TV series. Constantine.
Oh, yeah, Constantine.
Yeah, they relaunched it as Constantine the Hellblazer to, you know, link both of them in, and it went back to being mature again. But, yeah.
Fine. You gotta put things in order. Things, all right, see you later, bud. See you, thanks very much. See you again next year. What companies will do that with anything? Whether you're a car company, they're with a car range, so what have we done? This has got way too far down this road and this. We've got a little bit of content, but we're going to need a car that's going to appeal to more people. You know, the cameras will go away. It just has to go into some kind of hibernation for a while. And someone of a strong personality, someone will eventually draw it or write it, and then that will come through again, and then the character will be will be injected again with a more personality. I'll become more believable.
Mike?
So, and also, you know... That's fine.
No, I'm enjoying it.
We'll talk about dread.
That's fine. We can dread. Take your time.
There you go.
No worries. And now, before we go, one other thing to discuss was your work on Judge Dredd. What was it like seeing the character, you know, you put so much time into as well, be featured on the big screen both as by Sylvester Stallone and, what's his name, Carl Urban?
Carl Urban.
Carl Urban. What was it like seeing, you know, the character you've done so much work with portrayed by them? People have been afraid of that with Star Wars, for example. Like they
Star
just
Wars
keep...
so far has been actually top notch. It's been really good. And all DC Marvel was fucking great. Captain America, great. Fucking film, Spider-Man's been great. Batman, the Batman film. I've not seen it yet. But I'm not really happy with the way they're doing Superman. I think the actor's great. Ben Affleck is Batman. I think it's fucking perfect.
Thank you.
Definitely.
I'm looking forward to him doing directing his own one-off. You know it's going to be fucking good.
Have you seen Argo?
I think he's a fucking great, he's a clever man, a wise man, a intelligent man. He's got the look, he's got that kind of like, that kind of brooding quality about him, that danger about him, which is perfect, you know. He can project, you know, I think it was a very wise move to have his Batman.
Have you seen his movies like Argo and, you know, The Town, I believe, stuff like that, like his prior work with directing?
Yeah, I love those. And also his brother's very talented as well.
Yeah.
They're very talented, very talented people. So, yeah, we look forward to that. I think the benefits really put the grit in Batman, put the grit in it.
Definitely.
So I've talked absolutely nothing nonsense, so ignore everything I've said.
No worries.
Yep. Like I said, it's like a very, very late to the end of the show.
Well, now, before we go, how can people get a hold of you on the internet, you know, Facebook, social media, Twitter, whatnot?
I have a fan site. I forget what it's called, but an official website.
I believe it's The Art of Simon Bisley on Twitter.
There's a Facebook page. The intent of it is Simon Bisley. Actually, I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah.
But it's www.simonbisleyart.com. It's all high case, I don't know. Anyway, yeah, that's the official website. Yeah, it says the official website.
Very cool. Simon, it was a pleasure having you on.
Thank you. Thank you.
Pleasure.
Once again, a major, major thank you to Mr. Simon Bisley for being on today's show. Thank you, sir, for being on. So now, before we go, how can people find us on social media? Go to
audiblyexquisite.com
and visit our new website, our website, which has reviews and stuff like that, and actually contact us on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com
audiblyexquisite,
and you will see a wide variety of different abilities to contact us, along with our t-shirt pre-sale orders right now going on. And you can contact us on there if you want to be able to be a writer for the website. Also, you can find us on Twitter at Peter Melnick,
at Mike_Nord,
or collectively at the AE Podcast. Find us on Instagram at
Audibly Exquisite.
And let's see, you can also find us on Periscope and all those other things that we never use anymore. We're probably on Snapchat. Are we on Snapchat?
No, we're not.
Oh, we should make a Snapchat. So anyway, Let's see, you can also find us on a wide variety of iOS and Android platforms with TuneIn Radio, Stitcher Radio, and Podomatic, and also rate, review, subscribe, and share on the iTunes machine. So now, for Peter Melnick, I'm Peter Melnick.
For Mike Norn, I'm Lincoln Sheffield.
Have an audibly
exquisite week. Thank you.